Hello and welcome to my show, Nutrition for Health, Perfect Weight and Wellbeing on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. I'm Dora Walsh and I've been working in the field of natural and functional medicine for over 15 years. I'm a qualified nutritionist and nutritional therapist, and I support my clients to overcome their chronic health concerns like hormonal imbalances, digestive problems, chronic fatigue, overweight, skin concerns, low immunity and more. You can find out more about me on my website, NutriHeal.net, and also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Well, this week, we're going to be talking about the many reasons why you haven't been able to lose weight, or maybe why your diet isn't working when you're trying so hard to cut your calories or exercise excessively or fast or do different kind of weight loss techniques, and you're wondering why it's not working for you. And that is a really hot topic these days because so many people these days are trying to lose weight and then they lose hope when all of the effort they put in to lose just a bit of weight are lost when they go and pile it back on. I'm going to be speaking today with a wonderful Banff registered nutritionist and nutritional therapist. Her name is Maze Al-Ali and she's a certified yoga and meditation teacher as well. And you can find out more about her on her website, healthymaze.com, and also follow her on Facebook at Healthy Maze. So as I mentioned, you may be wondering why your diet isn't working, why your calorie counting isn't working, why your exclusion diet isn't working, and almost maybe giving up hope of ever being able to release weight. Maybe you're struggling and starving in your weight loss attempts, and you just don't know what you're doing wrong. You feel confused about what's going to work for you. And you think, oh, well, maybe I'm always going to be like this. Maybe I'm just getting older. And that's just how older people are. They gain weight. There's nothing wrong with being a bigger, but sometimes people find that they want to release excess weight. It's not helping them on their health trajectory. And there are many ways that you can do it. And as I mentioned, that's what we're going to be talking about today. The reasons why you may not be losing weight, what to look into and what you can do about it. Welcome to the show, Maze. It's great to have you here this week.
Thank you, Dora. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
We've been connected for a while and I know you're working in this area. You're working with helping people to reverse their health conditions, to lose weight, to detox. You're also a yoga teacher. You work on many levels and I know you've worked with people also with eating disorders. So I thought you'd be a great person to speak to. Before we talk about that topic of why somebody might not be able to lose weight and what they can do about it, can you tell us a bit about your journey into becoming a nutritionist, nutritional therapist, yoga teacher, and how you came to be an expert in this area?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, well, I actually have quite an interesting and maybe inspiring story for some. I started off in the corporate world in a high-powered, super stressful job in advertising, producing TV commercials. I did that for 18 years in total, and it was complete with the full London party lifestyle. And about 10 years into the career, I just realized I was like chronically unhappy. And I was using the partying, the alcohol, everything like that to numb myself. And I discovered yoga probably like 12 years ago now. And I went to India. I became the yoga teacher, like the cliche, you know, eat, pray, love, finding yourself, and became a Reiki master, started really getting into the holistic healing. At the same time, I became vegan, raw vegan, started to really experiment with diet and nutrition and how much it helped me heal. I had issues with gut health. I had issues with skin urticaria, hives. I had like a lot of health concerns and I had a history of eating disorders from childhood, from a lot of childhood trauma. So I had all these things, always had like a lot of weight instability, but I found that like, you know, cleaning up my lifestyle, the holistic healing, reducing the stress, doing lots of yoga and meditation, and initially doing a vegan diet really helped me. I started to be really interested in nutrition. I started to kind of, you know, self-study. But as we know, you can Google till the cows come home and find very conflicting information. And I thought I was like a super healthy vegan and everything like that. And after 6 years, I realized I didn't feel so good. And I signed up to my 3-year nutrition diploma at CNM, started testing myself, started to work with a nutritionist myself and realized, oh gosh, this vegan diet is really not working for me. and, you know, then became a nutritionist. Then I finished my master's in clinical nutrition at UCL and left advertising 3 years ago. And a lot, I work a lot with genetic testing, as I'm sure you do, Dora. And there's this gene called the COMP gene. And that is tells you how well you manage stress. And to me, when I started to study my nutrition studies, I did the genetic testing, realized my COMP gene was deleted on both sides, which means I don't handle stress very well. And I was surviving in this really stressful advertising environment because I had a really stressful childhood, so I could survive, but I wasn't thriving. So that really gave me the impetus to really quit advertising and you know, start my clinic. So that was nearly 4 years ago now. And, you know, being in service, helping clients heal, I work with lots of different types of conditions, but I've done a lot of weight loss. I've specialized in eating disorder training last year, just because it's close to my heart, you know, having been through it myself. Like, we can help people the most when we've been through stuff ourselves, I feel. So yeah, the eating disorder training was really, really great because I was seeing a lot of that in clinic, you know, moving on to kind of working with weight loss and why people don't lose weight. There's a statistic that 37% of dieters will be as big, if not bigger, 18 months after starting a diet, you know, so they might lose weight initially, but like fad diets don't work long term. You know, our body kind of is designed to keep the weight on us. If you go back to how we were as cavemen, we would actually go for long periods without finding food. And when that happens, the body's like slows down the metabolism to save food in periods of enforced starvation. So when we really do drastic calorie reduction, the metabolism slows down. So it naturally becomes harder to lose weight. So yeah, Dora, should I continue or?
Yeah, well, it's a great story. I mean, you've been through this yourself. You had that stressful life as well. It wasn't contributing to your health. So you've been like on a period of self-discovery. You've sorted out your health and issues with food, and now you're helping others. Let's talk about some of the main reasons that people that may be coming into your clinic may not be able to lose weight, because there's a lot of confusion around this. I see in my clinic, a lot of women come and they're very confused because for years they've been doing these diets that haven't worked for them, or they work for a while and then they pulled it back on, or they're looking up on the internet and trying to find a diet and follow it, but it's not tailored to them. So that's not working for them either. Or they're buying diet books or diet shakes and nothing's working and they kind of give up hope. But what are you seeing, what are the major reasons that people can't lose weight? Are there any specific conditions that we should be thinking about?
Well, yes, Dora, there's a lot of different reasons. And that is why, you know, personalized nutrition is so important rather than Googling and trying to figure things out yourself. It's a lot harder to get the right information because, you know, everyone is individual. So I work with clients to really get a picture of their whole, you know, their whole story, their whole health, and figure out what exactly is going on. Because there's different reasons why people may not be able to lose weight for different people. So it's all very much individualized. So the things I see, you know, like thyroid issues, you know, if your thyroid is low, that means your metabolism is going to be slowed down. So you won't be burning off calories as quickly, and you're likely to be gaining weight because of a slow thyroid. We always work to get clients to do comprehensive set of bloods, you know, so we know what's going on physically. Other hormonal imbalances, like things like PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, where you become insulin resistant, and, you know, like general hormonal imbalances. I see a lot of imbalanced cycles. So like, you know, if your estrogen, your progesterone aren't working as they should, this can affect how your cravings, your hunger hormones. So balancing hormones is really, really crucial for everyone. Poor digestion. Sometimes I see clients, you know, who get so bloated, like they look like they're 3 months pregnant. So actually, you know, they think that they're gaining weight, but like find out the root causes of what's causing the bloating, and suddenly their stomach flattens and, you know, they heal. So making sure, you know, you're digesting properly, making sure food intolerances that could be triggering poor digestion, and then working to kind of heal the gut. I don't believe in cutting out like food groups constantly. Like there's, you know, sometimes a lot of people have triggers with the FODMAP foods. And I see clients who have been cutting out FODMAP foods for 2 years, But a lot of FODMAP foods are really, really beneficial, like things like garlic and onion and broccoli and things like that. So actually, like when you're cutting out certain food groups, it should be short term, and so that you can heal the digestive system. There are certain things that actually might be worth cutting out long term for some people, like gluten, dairy, sugar. They're kind of the key drivers for poor gut health. So again, it's very individual. So I kind of work with a client to see what was going on. I don't really believe in calorie counting. I don't feel that's very helpful. However, having a knowledge of the calorific content of food is super important. So I kind of try to educate clients about that, and also portion control. You know, nuts are a healthy food, but you know, they can't be eaten ad libitum. Like one Brazil nut is 33 calories. Medjool dates, delicious, but they are really high sugar. Yes, they have fiber. So, you know, a bit more blood sugar stabling than a Mars bar, but they're still super high sugar. And again, shouldn't be eaten ad libitum. And one medjool date is 70 calories. So just kind of, you know, making sure clients understand the quality of foods they're eating and the calorific value without getting obsessed with calorie counting, because I don't think that's helpful, especially in eating disorder clients. It's more like, you know, knowing, listening to the stomach's food cues. You know, most people are really dissociated with their stomach, with how they feel when they eat certain foods. So I ask clients to tune into, how does this food make you feel? So food is meant to make you feel full of life, really energized. If you're eating and then feeling like slumped and low energy and bloated and painful, your body's having a reaction to that food. And then it's also kind of like, you know, tuning into stomach hunger cues instead of mind hunger cues, you know, so eating, listening to your stomach. And is your stomach telling you you're hungry, or is the mind telling you you're hungry because you're bored, hungry, angry, or tired or stressed? And if it's that, then try not to eat, because it's, you know, that you're using food to numb yourself and numb your emotions. And I've had a history of that pretty much all my life to do that. So I've had to do a lot of work on myself to really, you know, be present. Meditation helps a lot with this. So does breath work, you know, to really be in the present moment when you're going to make that split second decision. I'm going to have more of this. I'm going to eat more because I'm stressed. Something bad has happened. I'm going to turn to food. So really just trying to be present and thinking, what else can I do instead? Can I phone a friend? Can I have a bath? Can I meditate? Can I go for a walk? These kinds of tools I use a lot, and training clients using mindfulness techniques to really help with their relationship with food.
There are so many issues you've gone through. It's amazing. And I think Andre are going to be really waking up. I'm sure a lot of them know about this, but for the people that have been struggling and just thinking solely about calories and not about their thyroid or their hormone imbalance potentially, or their poor digestion or intolerances to food, and also the emotional side, this is a real wake-up call. Let's dig in a bit into some of those topics you've mentioned. Obviously, we can't cover everything in massive detail, and I definitely encourage people to reach out to Maze and Ellie if they want a real good in-depth analysis of what they can do to release that weight and be healthy, to her website, healthymaze.com. But let's talk a bit about thyroid issues, because I'm seeing this a lot myself in my clinic. People coming, they can't lose weight, and they haven't had any blood tests for years. And then we do some blood tests and we realize, well, actually, you're maybe borderline hypothyroid. Maybe the doctor thinks you're okay, or maybe you are actually majorly hypothyroid. And that's the reason, potentially or most likely, that you can't lose weight. It doesn't matter what kind of calorie counting or exercise you're doing. You're not able to lose weight. Let's dig in a bit more about what they could do about that, and what some of the symptoms are of hypothyroidism, so they can think about whether they could potentially fall into this category of weight gain due to hypothyroidism, which is extremely common.
Yeah, no, I see that a lot in clinic, and it often can be leading to Hashimoto's, where it becomes an autoimmune condition, and that's something you really want to try and avoid. So often clients, you know, if I see that they're, you know, really tired, stubborn weight gain they can't lose, and hair loss, those are the kind of like the main key things I see. And I'm like, okay, let's get your bloods done. And then, yeah, with hyperthyroidism, you've got to like balance the hormones. Often they're, you know, highly stressed. The triggers I see are extreme stress and adrenal fatigue, really poor gut health, and chemical toxicity. So the liver needs support. So I would work with clients to, on all those three things to support their liver. I specialize in liver cleansing, really deep liver cleanses that I find very, very useful. It does involve fasting. So it really depends on the level of hypothyroidism, because often fasting is not recommended, because if the adrenals are really fatigued, if they're really stressed, it's not recommended. But I would always work to reduce their stress levels, because stress is another reason for weight gain, because when you're stressed, cortisol increases and cortisol inhibits insulin production. And then once insulin's not being produced, your blood glucose levels get really high. You get cravings, you get hormonal imbalances. So really keeping blood sugar stable is a key thing for everyone, because often blood sugars are going up and down like a yo-yo, causing a lot of cravings, and especially if someone's had a history of, you know, excessive dieting, and your blood sugars become very dysregulated, or binge eating disorder and these kinds of things. But yeah, back to the thyroid, we kind of, you know, making sure, you know, getting the tests are really important, just making sure their selenium, iodine levels, zinc levels are all balanced, and fixing the gut. And just really kind of stabilizing, getting to the root cause, what get the thyroidism. Often there could be some toxicity there. So really supporting the liver. And then just getting, you know, and this is kind of the thyroid, but kind of common to all clients, really, just to understand, you know, the macronutrients and how they should be eating in a different healthy way, because people don't really have the right knowledge of how to eat healthy, because it's passed down from maybe the media, from advertising, I hope not, you know, but from our parents who may not know the best either. So really making sure protein is super key for satiety. Protein is the most filling macronutrient, and most people I see in clinic aren't eating enough protein. So really focusing on making sure there's enough protein in the diet, and fiber. Fiber, again, really is great for keeping you full, great for repopulating the microbiome with the healthy gut bacteria that will help with weight loss, these short chain fatty acids. So making sure, like, plenty of veggies, not too much fruits. You know, I don't believe fruit should be eaten ad libitum. You know, if we go back to how we were as cavemen, you know, we were hunter gatherers. We weren't eating fruit and honey and sugar every day. You know, we would find a fruit bush, gorge on that, then maybe not eat fruit again for weeks. And then the same for honey, find a beehive, have some honey, then not have it again. But now people like eat tons of fruit, of course. And, you know, there's the cakes, the biscuits, all filled with inflammatory seed oils and unhealthy trans fats. And all these things will contribute to inflammation. So really, you know, really reducing sugar and making sure the carbohydrates are the right type of carbohydrates. So getting rid of these, you know, white refined carbs, going for complex carbs, your brown rices, sweet potatoes, the quinoas, the buckwheats. These are slow release, will keep your blood sugars stable. But again, you know, we have three macros. We need three macros. I don't believe in excluding any macros, but I tend to find for most people just going a little bit less on the carbs and increasing fiber and veggies and protein does help. You know, it does help to keep blood sugars balanced. So instead of like carbs being the center of the plate, you know, you just have it as a quarter of the plate and have half the plate veggies, quarter protein, and some healthy fat. Helping clients understand, you know, how to create a healthy plate will be key to helping them to lose weight, instead of, you know, go completely cold turkey, Atkins, keto, you know, banning the carbs. It will just lead to more craving, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we talk about, blood sugar, because when that blood sugar isn't balanced, when that plate isn't balanced well between, you know, good protein, complex carbs, healthy fats, etc., then it's very, very difficult to be balanced, as you mentioned. Then we are having these blood sugar highs and lows, and then the low is going to lead to the cravings. That's going to lead to the weight gain. And some people may think, oh, well, I had a good healthy plate of pasta for lunch. People think that pasta is very healthy, and it can be healthy in moderation in the right amounts, but we have to understand the right amounts that are going to support the blood sugar. And what we need to combine it with is protein and good fats and some phytonutrients from some low carb vegetables. And that definitely enables us to stay balanced, so we don't have that crazy sugar craving, so that, you know, we're not spiking insulin. And for our listeners today, insulin is the fat storage hormone. It could be another reason why you haven't been able to lose weight because if you're constantly spiking insulin by eating all the time, not balancing your blood sugar, then the insulin is high and then you store fat. So that is another reason. It is so important because it's really one of the major ones, because when the blood sugar isn't balanced, the rest of the body isn't balanced. And that can lead on to PCOS. It can affect the hormones, et cetera, can't it?
Yeah. I mean, blood sugar balance is pretty much key to most chronic health conditions, you know, and especially for weight loss. And like you said, you know, yeah, eating a plate of pasta, you're just getting carbs, especially if it's white pasta, you know, and it's not good to kind of ban any foods, you know, because as soon as you kind of ban something, you know, you automatically go the opposite way and you crave it and you want it. Having said that, sometimes people have, you know, really a lot of gut issues and you might need to really remove the gluten stuff, but then you can replace it with other stuff. Like I always recommend like more protein rich pastas, like your bean pastas, your lentil pastas, the pea pastas. And so there you're getting the pasta, but you're also getting protein. And you'll be surprised by how much more full you'll feel than if you'd had just a white pasta. Same with oats. You know, people have oats for breakfast. And yes, oats are a complex carb. So they are more slow release than white toast, for instance. They will keep your blood sugars more balanced than a couple of slices of white toast. However, you know, you do need to add protein with them. Because if you eat, most people eat a bowl of oats, then 2 hours later, they still get hungry. They want a snack. But if
it won't fill you up. People do say it's filling, but if you just have oats for breakfast, let me tell you, 1 or 2 hours later, you're right. You'll be adding to that healthy bowl of oats, maids.
Yeah, well, I do recommend protein, a good quality vegan protein powder. I always love NuZest. I'm not sponsored by them, but I've tried a lot of them and it's nuts. But you kind of need to get, you know, most people, average 60 kilo woman, probably need like 60 grams of protein. That's average. You probably need more if you're exercising more and that kind of thing. But average, let's say 20 grams. And to get 20 grams of protein from seeds and nuts and nut butter, you need to use quite a lot and the calories add up. But it, you know, it depends. If you're a 6'4" man, then it's no problem. So you can alter. I teach clients to alternate. So it's kind of good to switch things up and not always have the same thing. But definitely, you know, I say coat your carbs, you know, so definitely coat, add some protein in or fiber. And then as well, when you've got the plate, you know, eat the salad first. You get most nutrients, then the protein, and try to eat the carbs last. That helps to balance blood sugars more. So all these little tips and tricks really, really work. Really work. Things like a little bit of apple cider vinegar in water before the meal will also keep blood sugars more stable. So yeah, look.
Fantastic. We're going to be back to talk a lot more about how to balance your plate and the other reason why you might not be able to lose weight and what you can do about it to investigate it further and get a result after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my weekly show, Nutrition for Health, Perfect Weight and Wellbeing. I'm talking to Maize Al-Ali, Bant registered nutritionist, a nutritional therapist, certified yoga teacher and a meditation teacher. And her website is healthymaize.com. We're talking about the many reasons why you may not be able to lose weight. There isn't just one. There could be many. And you need to start to understand the reasons and also what to do about it so you can get a result. So, AIDS, we were talking about blood sugar and all the oats in the morning and what you need to add to it to make it much more nutritious and much more satiating. So you mentioned protein powders. You mentioned the oats, obviously. Hopefully whole oats and not powdered, because otherwise they digest too quickly. Did we talk about adding some nuts in that bowl of oats to add the healthy fat?
Yeah. The healthy fats are crucial as well. You know, fats can be filling too, and just making sure you're having the right kind of fats. So nuts, seeds, very good quality extra virgin olive oil, and really moving away from seed oils. So any, like your sunflower oils, your canola oils, your soy oils, soybean oils, these oils can cause a lot of inflammation, and they're often found in processed foods like cakes and biscuits. And then inflammation kind of is also a trigger to stop people from losing weight and actually help gain weight with these poor quality seed oils. So it's really like cleaning up the diet in people. And another thing I often see is I work a lot with sleep therapy with clients, you know, optimizing sleep. I see so many clients who have poor sleep. And when lack of sleep is associated with disruption in our hunger hormones. So leptin is very important. It's stored in our fat cells and it tells you that you're full. And when some people who are obese or chronically overweight, their fat cells become leptin resistant. So this message doesn't get to the brain. And then when we don't sleep, it disrupts the ability of leptin to control our hunger cues. And it also disrupts another important hunger hormone called ghrelin. I always think of ghrelin as a gremlin, you know, making you hungry. So it basically is used in the stomach when it shrinks. So signifying the need for another meal. So it tells you that you're hungry. So when, you know, lack of sleep just creates disruptions in both leptin and ghrelin. So you feel more hungry and you don't necessarily feel as full as you should. And often people don't realize that, you know, and I notice it myself on nights that I sleep badly. I'm seeing more cravings. So I really have to make sure I'm focusing and making sure the protein's enough. And, you know, so working with sleep therapy, so optimizing sleep is key. So I saw like a study that said the quality of sleep, if you go to bed between 10 p.m. and midnight, is worth 4 hours of latent sleep. And I can vouch for that. When I go to bed at 10 p.m., I wake up more refreshed than if I go to bed at like 11:30, 12 p.m. or later. So really trying to get to sleep early, making sure you're getting minimum 7 hours, ideally 8 hours, and just like, you know, doing loads of sleep techniques to optimize sleep, like no screens, 2 hours before bed, getting into a bedtime routine. The circadian rhythm is super important, both for sleep and for food. The body likes to sleep at the same time. That's why jet lag is so disruptive, but it also likes to eat at the same time. So getting into like a regular routine of eating and sleeping will really help to balance blood sugars and maintain and help with weight loss. So
yeah, I love what you're saying, because it's basically very holistic. We're digging into each reason, and then we're looking at ways to support each possible reason for that weight gain. So with the sleep, you know, a lot of people don't think really how can that make me hungry. We don't. So I never would have made the connection until I studied this. But you need to understand that everything we do to our body has an impact. How much light you get, how much sleep you get, how much you move, your thoughts, your feelings. It all has an impact, and that can impact on weight. And we need to be so connected to our body and really give it what it needs. And we starve ourselves of sleep, and then we wonder why we're not looking good, we're not feeling good, and we're hungry and ratty all the time. So it's another reason for weight gain that people may not have thought about, you know, an excessive hunger. They're probably just thinking, I'm an overeater. I can't control myself. No, really, it's because your hormones are imbalanced, because you're not getting enough sleep. And therefore, your hormones are driving you, and they're telling you that you have to eat because you don't feel full. And a good night's sleep is going to fix that. It's simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it is simple. It is simple. You just need the right support and the right knowledge. Yeah. So just getting into that sleep routine, getting the circadian rhythm for sleep balance, you know, waking up and getting, you know, sunlight into your eyes, that immediately stimulates cortisol, which is the waking hormone. A little tip waiting at least an hour before you eat in the morning. Because when you wake up, you're in melatonin phase. Melatonin is our sleep hormones. And often, you know, people wake up really sleepy. That takes them some time to wake up. So giving a little bit of time, because melatonin suppresses cortisol. So waiting a few hours before you eat allows melatonin to go down, allows cortisol to go up. And that is naturally how our hormones need to be balanced. So just these little tips and tricks really work wonders. Most people don't know about them.
Yeah. So extending that breakfast and having it a bit later, that's also extending the overnight fast. Because for our listeners, you know, everybody here that's listening today, we're all fasting overnight, unless you're getting up in the middle of the night to eat, but that's another issue. But go to bed, we don't eat normally. And that is a time when people can lose weight. So the longer that you can extend that fast overnight, if you're healthy and you're able to do it, the better for your health and the better for your weight loss.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge advocate. I'm a huge fan of intermittent fasting. And like you said, Dora, you know, some people you have to go a bit gently if there's thyroid issues. Certainly if there's eating disorder issues, you have to be careful with fasting. But there's just so much positive research on intermittent fasting. So fasting over 16 hours overnight, eating in an 8-hour window. And, you know, sometimes you might need to build up to that. So starting with 12 hours, going to 14 hours, and then getting to 16 hours, and then just playing around with like exercising. So, you know, if you exercise fasted, you burn more fat than if you exercise with food in your stomach. So, you know, getting the body to be able to do that. Some people, you know, can't go for more than a few hours without eating. They get hangry, they get shaky. And I'm always like, wow, that's a sign that there's some quite serious hormonal imbalances going on. Because I'm always referring back to how we've evolved from the cavemen. And sometimes we would go for weeks without finding food. So our bodies are actually designed to fast and survive in a fast state. And how well you can move from a fasted to a fed state, which is known as metabolic flexibility, is really important as a driver for health. So making healing your body, fixing your hormones so that you can survive 16 hours without food, so that you can wake up and go to the gym fasted and you know, not like feel like you're going to pass out hypoglycemic. It's possible and it's really healthy. And when we do that, we go into lipolysis, which is fat breakdown when we exercise fasted. So that really, really helps to lose fat. Whereas you're eating, then the body will always, you know, go for glucose first. We'll always go for carbohydrates. We'll use carbohydrates as fuel first. When the carbohydrates run out, then it will use fat as fuel. So, you know, these little tips and tricks really, really help. And then if you are healthy, extended fasts are really great, not for weight loss, but for healing. You know, when we're fasting, we go into autophagy. So we're getting rid of old cells. Mitophagy, getting rid of old mitochondria, creating new blood cells, healing injuries, you know, creating new mitochondria. And that happens in a fasted state. And I guide clients in deep, deep liver cleanses using binders, things like bentonite clay, zeolite, activated charcoal, psyllium husk, and enemas. I'm a big fan of coffee enemas and coffee colonics and this kind of thing. My fasts are very, very detailed to heal chronic health conditions, which often can be stopping weight loss as well. The gut health, my detox has really helped with healing the gut. And once the gut is healed, everything is healed, because our immunity is in our gut, our serotonin, our happy hormones in our gut. Like, so much, you know, in nutrition school, all we learned was if in doubt, heal the gut. So yeah, so I'm a big advocate of fasting, if, you know, but it's always individual to make sure it's safe for that individual.
It's so good for detoxification. You mentioned supporting the liver and this, it helps the digestion as well. And as you mentioned, when we work on our detoxification through fast and through other modalities that you mentioned, the body is able to release weight, because we've got to realize is that when we lose fat in weight loss, and we should always be using fat, losing fat, not muscle tissue, fat houses a lot of toxins. And if the body's elimination system through digestion or from liver, kidney are not working to their full capacity, then the body's going to be weight loss resistant. It will not want to release that fat, because it will not want to release the toxins in the fat. So this detoxification and the fasting you mentioned is really important if the body's up to it. I think you're doing a fast in 2023, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been running these online group cleanses for the last year, and the results are incredible. On my Instagram, Healthy Maze, I've got a testimonial tab. You can just read up. I've got like countless testimonials. Amazing, amazing results. It's guided. It's fully guided with shopping lists and a full schedule of how to do it. A 10-page manual explaining everything. And yeah, it's great to do it with the support of a group as well. And you can do it all from the comfort of your own home without going to a retreat center and spending thousands. And yeah, you get the same results. And then you've got, yeah, and then you've got the information. You can, you know, people often repeating it repeatedly. And as Dora said, you know, often when toxins are stored in our fat cells and our adipose tissue. So there's often when chronically obese people lose a lot of weight, they can get some chronic health conditions because they're losing a lot of weight. They're breaking down a lot of fat and adipose tissue. The toxins just get released into the blood and they're not excreted. So that's why my detox is super scientific, because we are releasing the toxins. We're breaking down fat tissue because you do lose a few kilos naturally on it. And the toxins are being bound with the binders and excreted with the enemas. So that's why it's super safe and super healing. That's why people feel so great. Your whites of your eyes are shining. The skin is shining. You're energized. And, you know, people can't believe the results. And that's because you're using binders and excreting the toxins that are released when you lose weight. So, and a lot of, like, I see a lot of cleansers that don't have this element and actually, you know, and have fruit juice, which I don't believe in drinking fruit juice, you know, because you're better off eating the fruit with the fiber to keep your blood sugar stable. Fruit juice is just like, you know, like sugar water. It's just going to spike your insulin and destabilize your blood sugars. So my detox includes green veggie juices only. So that, you know, your blood sugars are stable, your gut is healed, and you feel fantastic. So yeah, highly recommend you sign up. The link is on the website.
You can find out more about that on your website. Is that right? Healthy Maze.
Yeah, it's on my website and also on my Instagram, Healthy Maze.
Fantastic. So I think it's in January. Is that correct?
10th of January, we start the next one.
10th of Jan. Fantastic. Now, we're going to be back to talk a lot more about the reasons why you may not be able to lose weight and what you can do about it, what you need to be looking into and what to think about, because there are a lot of things that I know I didn't know before I became a nutritionist. It's a minefield. So that's going to be after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my show, Nutrition for Health, Perfect Weight and Wellbeing. We're talking about the reasons why you may be not able to lose weight and what you can do about it. We've talked about thyroid health, blood balance, detoxification. You also talked, Maze, about people that come to you that are bloated and they think, you know, they're overweight, but really they're bloated, their digestion isn't working well. Maybe they're having food intolerances. Can you tell us a bit more about that as a potential reason for unwanted weight gain and what people can do to help themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of bloating and, you know, we have to kind of get to the underlying root cause. I touched on FODMAPs, often FODMAP foods, these kind of things like broccoli and onion and garlic, can be, and lentils can be triggering this for some people. And then we would also test for something like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. I find this causes a lot of bloating as well. An in-depth stool analysis is always wonderful if budget permits, and we really can, you know, analyze what's going on in the microbiome. And then we just work to heal the gut. I think I mentioned that the three biggest triggers for gut issues are gluten, dairy, and sugar. You know, often it's, you know, for the simpler clients, just removing those three, the bloating goes, they feel great. If we remove those three and the bloating doesn't go, then, you know, then it could be something like SIBO. You might need a specific protocol to heal that and further testing. So yeah, fixing the gut is really key, because it just, you know, 70% of our immune system is in our gut. 90% of our serotonin is produced in our gut, the happy hormone. And actually, touching on serotonin, often people can have low serotonin, and that can cause cravings. That can cause excess cravings. So especially if there's a history of eating disorders, because, you know, this kind of binge purge cycle, even if you're not purging, if you're just binging, it kind of really imbalances your blood sugars. Like, yeah, if you're binging on a lot of carbohydrates, the pancreas may release too much insulin, and then you become hyperinsulinemia. I can't say that word. And then the blood glucose level fall too fast. And then that creates more cravings, and it just creates this vicious cycle of binging, purging, craving. And that can really be an issue. And then serotonin drops as well. So sometimes supplementing with 5-HTP really helps with my clients with some eating disorders, or with, you know, anyone with like some chronic low moods. Of course, you have to check that they're not on antidepressants. But that can really help with balancing cravings, which most people may not know.
Because most people don't realize that most serotonin is made in the gut. We think it's made in the brain. But that the gut is working, the more we are able to make it. But as you mentioned, there are things that we could put in to supplement, or even the raw materials. So, you know, there are many things that could support the production of serotonin, like vitamin B3, other B vitamins, tryptophan from turkey. I think that's why people fall asleep at Christmas after their turkey. It's very high.
Yeah.
And almonds. So, you know, we have to realize that food is a medicine, and we can use it to modulate the pathways and to support the production of certain hormones. So we need to be well nourished in order to be healthy and to be able to lose weight. Losing weight isn't about starvation, is it? It's about giving our body what it needs, supporting the digestion, balancing the diet, as you mentioned, balancing the blood sugar, taking out things that are not going to support the gut, because it's going to feed bad bacteria. And the bacteria in our guts, they're in control of us. There are more bacteria than anything in the world. And, you know, the bacteria are driving our appetites and our moods. So we need to realize that when we're eating, we're not just eating for enjoyment. We're eating for our bacteria. And our bacteria have an important role to play. We need to feed the good ones and keep the bad ones in check. And I guess that's what SIBO is about. We kind of want to get rid of that bad bacteria and small intestine. It's not meant to be there. It's quite a complex protocol. I think people need help to get rid of SIBO, don't they?
Yeah, it's pretty complex. I mean, I've had clients that come to me and they've been Googling and doing their own things, and it's very hard to do it without support. And it's quite harsh as well. So you only really want to do it if you know you've got SIBO. So, you know, things like biofilm disruptors and your berberines and your garlics and specific protocols. The other thing I see a lot of actually is candida that can wreck the gut. And candida is basically fed on sugar. So again, that's why sugar can be so disruptive for gut health and for weight loss as well. So really, you know, healing the candida. And if clients have things like recurrent thrush, recurrent UTIs, fungal infections, all these things are linked to candida. If they're in a moldy room as well, mold is super, super toxic. And great thing, if you've got any mold issues, to do my cleanses, which will help to eradicate that and helps to eradicate the candida as well. So yeah, working on that. And I just wanted to, before we finish up, like stress, you know, really touch base on stress. Having suffered a lot with chronic stress and, you know, like, you know, my eating disorders were triggered from just low mood and childhood trauma. I've had to work a lot on my mental health and stability to manage stress, to kind of you know, be happy inside. And that is like a key driver for weight loss, you know. So cortisol, you know, inhibits the insulin production. It really imbalances our hormones. So affects our blood sugars negatively, causes more cravings, causes the body to hold on to fat. And cortisol is raised when we're really stressed. So really identifying the triggers of the stress in clients and teaching them tools to use in every day to help manage the stress. You'll be amazed at how much stress can be preventing weight loss. So breath work, meditation, yoga, walking in nature, grounding your feet into the earth, all these kinds of things, and really making them a daily part of the diet. And often clients are like, I don't have time. But that's one of the most important things, because, you know, you can have the most pristine diet and put like the purest, most organic foods in your stomach. But if the mind is super stressed and you're really unhappy and not surrounded by a beautiful community that supports you, then you're more likely to get sick than someone who's like eating McDonald's and surrounded by loving family. I mean, that's an extreme example, but it just shows the importance, super important, what you're putting in your mouth, the nutrition and diet, but super important to work on the mind as well. Yeah,
you're so right. I mean, your emotions play a part. And also I found, Maeve, briefly, that even the belief about your weight plays a part in whether you can lose weight. And I found that with a lot of clients, that they identified with their weight. They say to me, I've always been like this. I've always been overweight. And so they come for weight loss, but they don't really believe they can do it. So we have to do a lot of work on the identity and being able to shed that weight and the identity of being somebody that is overweight in an unhealthy way, you know, because the weight isn't supporting their health long term. We know it can lead to many health problems like diabetes, high blood pressure, etc. So they need to kind of almost become a new person from the inside out. So it's not just, as you say, the nutrition that's going in, it's the thoughts and the feelings that need to be cleansed as well.
Yeah, mindset is super important. I work a lot with manifestation. I'm a huge fan of Joe Dispenza. Look him up, guys, if you don't know his work. And he really believes in kind of in deep meditation, visualizing, you know, the best version of yourself, the future version of yourself that has everything. So really, I think really letting go of the identity of being overweight. And if you say, oh, I'm always going to be fat, I'm always going to be this way, da, 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 that's putting that intention out there. So really changing that and in visualizing yourself in the body that you want, you know, visualizing your metabolism speeding up really fast and working really fast and burning calories. And these little manifestation tools work super well. It's changing the belief, the biology of belief. Another great person is Bruce Lipton, who I love, works on similar things. So yeah, working on mindset is super important.
It's fantastic. We've been speaking to Maeve Al-Ali. She's a BANT registered nutritionist, nutritional therapist, also certified yoga and meditation teacher. And you can find out more about her and also her cleanses and her different things that she does on her website, healthymaeve.com. You can also follow her at Healthy Maeve on Facebook. And I hope, listeners, that you've enjoyed the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting the show on UK Health Radio today. And until next week, goodbye.